Jennifer, am I on? Am I on? Okay. bad news. A couple of bad news things. I'm not going to go into much bad news. The autoimmune disease from COVID shots is showing its ugly face, and so that's not good news. And the state legislature in the state of Texas is failing to take action on things that should have been already done. The good news, there's some good news. Girls have filed lawsuit with regard to their schools preventing them from or requiring that they compete against men. And I think you all ought to probably understand that most of these bad things like this that happen occur with people that don't have any money. So the girls that are filing this lawsuit really don't have any money, but the lawsuit to file it to go all the way to the Supreme Court, you're looking at a million minimum in legal fees to get to the Supreme Court and through it. And so, you see, just not everybody has that capability, and so for the girls to undertake to do it, not only do they have to devote their time and effort, but somehow they've got to fund it. And fortunately, private organizations are helping these girls to fund it. Global Warming has two cases. Same thing, got to fund the case because the government has defense attorneys that are free to the government, but you've got to have your $1 million available to pay proceed in the case. Finally getting truth about COVID and the vaccine and the results of that. Report... I'm going to forget his name. Anyway, the report that was made on the Trump situation, final financial records, the Kinsmen, all of them, the records are before the public now, so we're seeing where the money went. And six, Oklahoma governor signed a bill banning sex change surgeries for minors. So good news is beginning to take over some of the really bad things that are going on. Yeah. Yes, and they're not going to come up because we're out of time. So the only way we can get them back on top on the docket is for the governor to call a special session. I don't see him being very active, and I'm concerned that we're not getting much for our bucks there. But anyway. We've got a lot of messes, and the whole problem is that every one of those messes, to really rectify it, the only way that it can be done is to go through the court system, and you're looking at the $1 million because the courts are going to force you to go all the way to the Supreme Court. The government and the courts are going to force that on everybody that goes. So, prayer requests. The good news of the promises of God. The good news of the promises. So this is a good news message this evening, and the good news, with all the bad things that are going on, with all the world's news and everything, we just suffer, and we self-inflict suffering on ourselves, I think, sometimes by paying attention and watching what's going on in the newsreel and the newspapers and everything else. And frankly, God really kind of tells us not to do that, not to be frustrated by it. So what are the good news of promises? And I'm looking at it from kind of the a bumpkin sort of a way. What is the good news of God's promises? What does a bumpkin think about God's good news? And I'm calling myself the bumpkin because I'm the one that's kind of expressing what I see. The book suggests that there's 37,000 promises of God in the Bible. And I've read some of those promises in this one little book here, and sometimes I think these promises are a stretch, and they're more of a statement of fact than a promise. But in any event, I want to look at analyze what do we really mean by promises. Now, you know, when I was 10 years old, my dad went pheasant hunting, and Donnie Munson's dad went pheasant hunting with my dad. Frankly, the man's farm that we were going to was a Sunday school teacher that really probably led me to understand and believe in Christ. In any event, he was our Sunday school teacher, and he was a country bumpkin, really, just a country person. Had a neat little farm out in the country outside of Kearney, Nebraska, and he even had indoor water pump that would pump the water indoors, and he had an indoor potty and all things. My goodness, what a blessing it was to see that. And then he had squirrels, and he had raccoons, and he had horses and goats, and oh my, I wanted to go pheasant hunting, and my dad wouldn't let me go pheasant hunting. But now Donnie, he was younger, and he got to go, and my dad promised, you know, when you're 12, we'll go pheasant hunting. When we were 11, we moved to Kansas. There's no pheasants in Kansas. But you see, I got that shop. And we got to play in that shop, and no kid had a playground like that shop. The lawyer I first worked for said, promises, promises, promises. What he left out and said was, is nothing but promises. Nobody pays their bills, just nothing but promises. Promises, 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 but no payment. Well, what is a promise? I wonder how many, I suggested last time, how many little boys have sat on the front porch waiting for their father to come and never does. And this time I wanted to suggest how many women have been beaten to a pulp by their husband, and they promised never happen again, never happen again. Well, let me tell you a fact of life. A man that has the courage to hit a woman, let alone his wife, will do it again and again and again and again. 1 Kings 8:56 says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people of Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Not one failed. Not one of the promises failed. And when we look kind of at the way we, the human beings, are, we don't stand up so good. And let's see, I think I've got 1 Peter. I've added this in here. 1 Peter 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant, or I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like a precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and the godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Given to us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And so he's just really talking about our world right now. We got all this corruption going on, and we are given the opportunity by his promises to escape all of that evil. So see, it's a good news message. So, the promises of God. You know, we just had a shooting in Allen, Texas. Little town of Allen, Texas. When I first moved to Texas, it was a quiet little town. Had trouble even renting some of the shops in downtown Allen. Little old lady, and the building couldn't rent it out, so she started a restaurant there. It was open every Saturday. She sold two things. Every Saturday, this restaurant was open. She sold cinnamon rolls and coffee. She started at about 6:30 in the morning, and she was open till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And she was full to the bones there, all filled up. That restaurant filled up every Saturday. Did that for 2 or 3 years. And then now, you know, the big town has to be and buy into what our government is telling us. And we have a shooting. What a sad, sad story. So, no one would want to be in that Allen, and no one really wants to have that happen. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforementioned were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And I want to suggest to you, go back and look at that, because this verse becomes very important in promises. Let me go back over it. For whatsoever things were written aforementioned were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God is telling us what's coming. He's telling us what's coming. Psalm 109, written, 109, verse 105, written long before the Bible, according to Pastor Roy Zook. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, God is telling us, he's given us the word. He's foretelling us what's coming down the pike. Luke 24. Now I'm going to turn there and we're going to read Luke 24:46 and 46 through 49. And said unto him, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high, sending the promise of the Father to the disciples. So, what is the promise? What is the promise? Promise in the dictionary says an assurance that one will or will not do something. Something promised, as described above. In other words, that's another definition. A sign of future excellence, that means the athlete may have some sort of promise as an athlete, to pledge or offer assurance, i.e., to promise, to provide a basis for expectations, in other words, to give you the idea that, yeah, you may get paid sometime, your bill may get paid sometime. Promise is not a contract, but it may be consideration for a contract. You see, a contract is an offer. Somebody makes an offer. Somebody else has to accept that offer, and so it's an offer and an acceptance. So I can promise to sell to you my lawnmower because I don't plan to use it anymore, and you can agree to buy it, an offer and an acceptance. I offer to sell it to you, you offer to pay for it. Right? But the consideration could be a promise. Contracts are quid pro quo, something for something, and a promise is considered something if it's a promise. And so when we buy a house, we mortgage it, we make a written promise that we will pay the mortgage, and that's consideration for the delivery of the house to you. God does that on occasions. So, if you turn to 2 Chronicles, this is Ruth's favorite verse, given her static here, but anyway, if my people which are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, see, what God's doing here is he's making an offer and a conditional acceptance for you. He's telling you, if you do this and this and this and this, then I will, but only if you do this and this and this. That's a contract. He's contracted with us. That is still a promise, but it's a contractual promise, and that's kind of the basis of the Old Testament, was the contract. That was what we did in the Old Testament. That was what he did. So, what is a promise today? And well, what is a contract? Contract is legally enforceable agreement, a writing containing agreement. Marriage is a contract. There's a contract in what we call a game playing bridge. What is a covenant? A binding agreement. See, they use the terms contract in our daily business type things, but the Bible then sometimes makes it a covenant. Well, what's the difference? A covenant is a binding agreement between two or more parties. It's a contract. Covenant. It's more formal because it has a seal of the church or the parties, a formal sealed agreement. And in the olden days in England, what you did was is if you made a contract, then you had a wax wax candle. You dribbled the wax on the bottom of the contract and you stamped your seal on that. So the king's seal meant everything. And if you had a document with the king's seal on it, you could do anything and everything that was authorized in the document. Compact. And it's just another name for an agreement. A pledge is a formal promise to do something. A promise, see? A pledge. You pledge your lawnmower at the loan shop that you'll pledge that, get some money in exchange for it. It's still a contract, but it's a pledge. Still same thing. Delivery of a good property as security. A sign or a token, a pledge sometimes is a sign or a token that we take in religious activities, and we just pledge that we'll donate so much money. But that's kind of an open promise. There's no consideration necessarily for that other than that we feel committed to the church. Somehow to God. A vow is an earnest promise. Well, I'm not sure what the difference is between an earnest promise and a promise, but anyway, you know, if they promise to pay me, I think that I take that in earnest, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will. So here we have contract, compact, pledge, vow. How do they work? In a promise of God. It's very interesting because I find this exciting because now if I'm going to turn to, let's see if I can get this correct here, Isaiah 42:9 says, "Behold, the former things that are come to pass, and the new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Now listen, that's it. 42:9. That's what God says in 42:9. "Behold, the former things that are come to pass, and the new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them." He's telling us ahead of time what's coming down the pike. "Before they come about, I tell you of this." Roy Zuck, the Bible scholar, tells us that Isaiah 45 was written more than 150 years before King Cyrus was born. Now, let me go back and repeat this. Roy Zook says this, and I don't know how I get that, but if you take that as the gospel, Roy Zook tells us that Isaiah 45 was written more than 150 years before King Cyrus himself was born. Now let's go to Isaiah 45, 1 through 4. Isaiah 45, 1 through 4. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed Cyrus," 150 years before Cyrus, "thus saith the Lord to his anointed Cyrus," 150 years before he was born, "whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two laved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and I will cut in asunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, so that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." 150 years before he was born. Well, now that, you see, is a promise. 150 years before it occurred. If that's really true, but that it was written 150 years before, I have no reason to doubt Roy Zook. Huh? Yes. So, anyway, but turn to Isaiah 46 over a page or two. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Remember, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times, the things that are not done yet, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, and a man that executeth my counsel from afar. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. Well, he's saying what Roy Zook's saying. He's saying, that's what he's doing. That's what he is telling us ahead of time what's coming down the pike. That's not a promise. That's a statement of fact. He's just flat old stating a fact that's going to take place. Wow. Though he has not known me, not been born yet, and he's saying, he's telling us ahead of time what's coming down the pipe. A promise to do something that's already been done is more of a statement of fact than a promise. A promise to do something based on some promise to do something that they promise is a covenant or a contract. A promise by God, because he knows it's going to happen, is going to occur, is without consideration. Because he didn't ask you to do nothing. That's our grace. The promise that he asked, said he's going to do. You believe. You believe. You believe. You can't, you see, believe and fool God. You either do or you don't. So it's not something that you can do as a consideration. You can't say, okay, as consideration for your giving me everlasting life, I promise to believe, or I will believe, or I believe. God knows whether you believe or whether you don't believe. What does he say he's going to do? What does God say he's going to do? Let's see if I've got my numbers right here and look at 1 John. 1 John 2. 24 and 25, verse 2, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had made us, even eternal life. So see, the good news is, despite all this junk going on in this world, he's promised eternal life. Eternal life. He's promised that. It's not quid pro quo. It's a gift. He's promised it. You believe because you can't say you believe if you don't. He knows. So we turn next to, let's see, John 6. John chapter 6, 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will, which He has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Here's His promise. You're going to see that family in heaven. What good news. What good news that is. What good news. Now let's see. Matthew 24:30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's good news. He's coming back. He's coming back. Now go into 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And we're all going to be there. That's His promise. And so why are we worrying about what's going on? God has already written. It's already written as a statement of fact. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your news and for Your wisdom and for Your guidelines and for Your blessings and for Your provisions and for all of the many, many things that You do behind the scenes for Lake Country Bible Church, for each of us, for our wisdom and for our guidance and for our fellowship. And we thank You for those people that You've brought in that have come anew and are coming to visit. And we pray, Father, for this young woman that brought her son Levi, I think her name's Bethany, that was here over the weekend. Her background is full of some problems, and she needs You, Father. And so we would pray for people like her, and we pray for her father who's taken her in after the problems she's gone through. And we pray, Father, for all of the people in our congregation, each and every one of us have issues and problems, and we all need Your advice and wisdom and guidance at every step along the way. So we pray, Father, that You are the great God, the righteous one, that has already kept all of the promises that You've made. Step by step, as we read the Bible through, we see that You've kept the promises for those ancients. You've kept the promises for those that have come after. And You will keep the promises that You've already written into the Bible. What a blessing. We thank You for Your love and Your patience. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.